Well, good evening. It's good to have you here tonight. I trust you've had a good afternoon of relaxing and back in the house of God to worship Him. I'm going to be in Genesis 1 this evening, chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. And this morning, remember, we talked about mainly Enoch. And tonight, we're going to talk about Adam and the fact that he is God's son. The Bible says that he was the son of God. Now, we know that Christ is the Son of God, but Adam is the Son of God also in the sense of the first creation. That's what I mean by that. So in no way am I saying that Adam is the Savior, and I'm sure you understand that. But what does that mean to be created by God as he was the first to be created? And we'll find that out in Genesis 1, 26 through 31. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just love you, and we thank you again for all you do for us. And we want to pray now that as we hear this message, you would speak to our hearts, forgive us of our sins, and help us, Lord, to be obedient to whatever you call us to do. Whatever it is that you lay on our hearts tonight, I pray, Lord, that we will do that and make that a part of our life, make those changes, or continue on in whatever it is that you are supporting. And God, I just pray that as we read the scriptures, you bless the scripture, and also I pray that you give me the words to speak, that whatever I say will be pleasing to you, and it will come from your throne. And we just love you, God, and we praise you again for all you do for us, and pray now that you bless us the remainder of this service, and as we hear this message. In Jesus' name, amen. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. Please stand this morning in honor of the reading of the Word of God. And God said, "Let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I give you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. May God bless the reading of the word this evening. Thank you. You may be seated. The creation of Adam. Of course, Adam is the word, Hebrew word for man. Adama is the Hebrew word for man. And it really is resemblance from the ground is what it really means. Because God created Adam from the dust of the earth, as it tells us, and formed him, the Bible says, as we just read, in the image of God. Adam was formed in the image of God. This morning, as we talked about Enoch and the relationship that he had with God and the close, intimate relationship he had as he walked with God, and then God took him and he was no more on this earth, that was definitely an honor for that man to experience, for Enoch to experience. But tonight, when we look at Adam, this was the first created person that we have recorded in the Bible, and really in any history book that records that he is the first one to be created. And there's no question in my mind, I'm sure in yours, that he was indeed the first. And that in of itself has some significance to it. That God would have saw fit to make him and to give him life. And this evening, I just want to talk to you about what it means, the blessings that Adam received from God, and then the companionship that he had with God, and then the companionship that God gave to Adam. But first, I want to look at the blessings that God gave, and there are a few of them here that I have. First of all, the Bible tells us that God gave Adam the blessing of dominion over the animals. Now, Adam and Eve, the first created people, were the kings of creation, king and queen, I guess, of creation, if you want to say it that way. They were the rulers of everything that God had created, as we see here, as mentioned several times in the passage that God gave them dominion over the fish and over the beasts of the earth and the cattle and the fowl of the air and every creeping thing it mentions. Whether you want to say that, some would say that's insects, some would just say that's things that walk on earth in general, but whatever it may be, God gave complete control of the creation of the world to man, putting him immediately in the seat of power, if you will. Not God, of course, was not God. Adam was not that, but the greatest of God's creation was man. He did not give the beast dominion over men. He did not give the fowl dominion over men. It was the other way around. God gave everything into their control. Now, there were many reasons, I'm sure, why God did that. One would have been, of course, food. We have no reason to believe other than the fact that Adam had to eat just like you and I do. They did have the trees with the fruit on it. We know they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Get that out in a minute. So we know they had to eat, and the beasts of the field and all the animals and the plants and all would have been for that. So that is one of the things, but just the idea that they ruled the world because God gave them permission to rule the world. And that is a blessing. Now, I'm sure that was a gift to Adam, and that was part of the plan of God to allow man to have that kind of partaking in the creation that God had, to give him control. It was a gift in a lot of ways that God gave Adam. That's how much God loved Adam in the creation that he had, to give him control and dominion over the rest of his creation. And so that first blessing would have been the dominion over the animals. But then another blessing that he gave them was the ability to be fruitful, and the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply, to procreate, to replenish themselves, and to multiply, and to have children. He gave them the ability to do that. And they were allowed to be involved in that process. And most people, sadly, in our society, as Christian, or not Christians, but as humans, we can't say all across the board 100% this is true. But to most people, children are blessings. Now again, sadly, that's not true for every person, but I would think it's in the high 90% that to people, even to those that are not Christian people, children are a blessing. They're a blessing of God to be able to bring another life into this world and to raise that person, regardless of how difficult and challenging it may be at times. It's part of the things of life that God gives us. It's instinctual almost. I guess in raising it, it has to become instinctual. But it's instinctual to want to have kids. It's just a desire that God has put within us. And I know there are some that say they don't. But I think if they really stopped and evaluated their emotions, their feelings, they would want children. They are a blessing of God. And it is great to be involved in that process, to not only have children and to raise children and to know that kind of relationship, but also just the miracle of what human procreation is and how you can take the tiny things that work together and the cells and all and the way it all works and the process of how God takes that baby from its infancy all the way through and is created is nothing short of a miracle that God has given. But may we never forget that is a miracle that He has allowed us to partake in. Now we can partake in the regeneration of lost people into Christianity, the salvation of other people in the sense that we can share our faith and witness to them. Of course, it is Christ that saves and the Holy Spirit that saves, but He does let us be involved in that process as well. In some way, but not in the same way. I don't think it's quite in. I mean, it's a miracle of the birth. The miracle of birth is one thing, but that we can be involved in it is something else. Because God could have done it, chosen to do it any other way He wanted to, but that was how He did it, to allow us to bring other people into the world, to multiply our race, to multiply humanity. And that's a blessing, not just having children, but the fact that our race continues. That we will have children, and they will have children, and they will have children. And so the lineage goes on, and the world goes on, and humanity will continue. That was part of God's plan and part of the blessing He gave to Adam and Eve to be able to be a part of that. So it was a blessing that they were able to be fruitful, able to multiply, able to bring children into the world. And then the third blessing that I'll share tonight is just the general one that He gave them life, the blessing of life itself. And we know today as people, especially as Christians, how much we value life. In fact, in our convention, the Southern Baptist Convention, one of the Sundays through the year, there's always a Sunday, and I don't know what day it is. I think it's sometime in the beginning of the year, actually. May have already passed it. But we have a Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, where we're supposed to remember that. Now, it's on the calendar. I got a calendar at home with Southern Baptist dates, and almost every Sunday is something, you know. It's like Special Pew Day is they got almost. But, I mean, everything, they have something almost every Sunday. But there is a Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. Now, the point of that is really a stand against abortion, but the generality of it is that we celebrate that life is special, that it is a blessing to live and a blessing to allow others to live. That's why murder is such a heinous thing, and people look down on it so much, and abuse and all those things, and the torment, and I mean, you can destroy a life without ending a life. We know that. And life is precious to us. We do what we can to survive. We do what we can to continue. And that natural instinct to continue on makes us eat the way we should, makes us take medicine, makes us do what we need to do to feel good and to feel healthy so that our life can continue as long as possible. Why do we do that? Because it's a blessing to live. And without God, they would not have had life. Without it, without God, Adam and Eve never would have came into the world. We would have never came to the world. And that is definitely one of the greatest blessings ever. There's a singer back, who was popular back in the early 90s. And that's, you know, it's funny how we always hold on to our teenage years. Because I know, it just seems like everybody always talks about what happened in their teenage years. And I do. I have no idea what Christian music is out right now. You can mention all the Christian songs today, and I haven't heard any of them. But if you mention a Christian song from the early 90s, I can name every one of them just about. Because that was my teenage years. That's when I got into Christian music, and that's when I listened to it. But anyway, that's beside the point. But in the early 90s, there was a man named Jeff Moore. Some of you may have heard of him. I doubt most of you have. But he was what they call a contemporary Christian music artist, and which, you know, some people would just call Christian rock and roll. But, you know, it wasn't really that. He wasn't rock and roll like some of you may think, but more of a softer type of rock and roll, I guess. Anyway, Jeff Moore wrote a song called It's Good to Be Alive. That's where I'm going. I spent 5 minutes explaining who he is to say that he wrote a song called It's Good to Be Alive, and I don't remember all the lyrics of it, but that was the focal point of the song, was that it's, you know, he talks about what it is to be young and what it is to have dreams and then to get older and to see those dreams come to fruition or not, but to know where you are in life and to know where you're going and just to see that in general, yeah, there's good things and there's bad things, but isn't it a blessing that we're here to experience the good things and the bad things? I mean, nobody wants to have tribulation. We don't want to see death. We don't want to have torment in our lives and sad times and things like that, but isn't it a blessing that we're alive to experience those things? It's not a blessing to have someone you love die, but it's a blessing to be able to be alive to experience it. That itself is a blessing, to have life. And when you hear that song and you stop and listen to it and listen to the lyrics and of what he's saying, you know, it's good to be alive, feel the wind in my face, see the blue in the sky. That's kind of the chorus of it. And, you know, it is. Sometimes we complain about things and how bad things can get. But you need to just stop and remember that God gave me life, and He didn't have to give me that. And this is a life that He has allowed me to have. And it is good to be alive. Life is a blessing. And that was the blessing that was given to Adam and Eve. But then the final blessing that I'll mention tonight, and this is not the final part of the sermon, sadly for you, but the final blessing I'll mention tonight is that He made them in His image. He made them in His image, and that we read that here tonight, and how He created, in verse 27, God created man in His image, and in the image He created He, him, male and female. And that idea of being made in His image is kind of like a stamp or just, it's a possessive type of thing, is what I'm trying to get at. That, you remember the seal, that's what I'm looking at, seal. Remember in the old medieval times, they'd have a seal, they'd melt wax on a piece of, excuse me, see, that's what I meant earlier. But they have a wax on a piece of paper, you know, they'd melt the wax on it, and then take a king, would take a seal and put it into the wax. Nobody? Anybody? Yeah. Humanities or anything? Study that, history. Well, anyway, they did that back in medieval times, and when you saw that seal in the wax, it represented who it was from. That's King so-and-so that had that seal, King Midas or whatever. That's his seal. You know, it belonged to him. The letter came from him. And another example could be branding. You know, they brand cattle. You know, you see the big old Winn-Dixie on the side of the cattle. That means that belongs to that company. And so it's the same thing. In a sense, we are branded by God. We are sealed by God. And that we are made in His image. We belong to Him. And that's what it means to be made in His image. It doesn't mean we look like Him necessarily. It means we belong to Him. And He cared enough to create us and to make Him in our image to make us His. And that, above all, is the greatest blessing. Yes, it's a blessing to be alive. It's a blessing to be able to reproduce. It's a blessing to have dominion over the world as humanity. But the greatest blessing is that we can belong to God. And there's no greater blessing on earth than that. We need to praise God for the blessings in our lives. And then we move on to the next part of the sermon, and we've seen the blessings that God gives to Adam. But now we look at the companionship both that God had with Adam and the companionship that God brought into Adam's life. Now we know that God had a relationship with Adam and that they spent time with each other, and probably much in the same way that we studied about Enoch, that a communion, a special intimacy that God had with Adam and the relationship He had with him. But we know that the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him." And of course, we know that was to be Eve, his wife. God made Eve for Adam, male and female, made them together. And God said it was not good for Adam to be alone. It was not good for Adam to not have someone to have some kind of relationship with. He knew Adam needed a companion, and even though God was his companion, he needed another human, someone else. And so God made Eve for him to be his helpmeet, to love him, to care for him, to have companionship with him, someone that would be there for him and care for him, and he could care for her. And what a special blessing that was that God put in his life, the companionship that he created between Adam and Eve, that carries on even to today, as we today, as men and women have husbands and wives and marry, we give in marriage and we take in marriage and we have our families, and still today that blessing of companionship is being passed around for us, that God is allowing us to have that. You see, God not only took care of the physical side of Adam, the food and the plants and the animals for food and the fruit of the trees for food, and God not only took care of the physical needs of Adam, but also the emotional needs of Adam. Someone to talk to, someone to have that relationship with. And that was Eve. God knew he needed someone, and God gave him someone to love. And that was a blessing, and we need to thank God for our companions. You know, and it's not always husband and wife that I'm talking of here. I guess in this context it is husband and wife. But even our friends and our parents, our siblings, our nieces, nephews, whatever, our relatives, those that we have relationships with can in some way count in this process. People that we can have spend time with and have a relationship with. Because God made us to be interacting beings. He didn't make us to be solo and hermits, if you will, even though there may be some that don't have many relationships with other people. That was not how God created us. That was not His intent. He wanted us to have relationships with other people. Now, the ultimate, the height of relationship is the husband-wife relationship, even greater than children and parent, even though some would argue that you should never, I believe you should never love your children more than your spouse. I don't know if it's a sin if you do, but that's not, I don't believe that's God's intent. But I actually have a cousin that argued that one time, that you should love your children more than your spouse. I do not believe that, but you can't promote that, because I believe the greatest relationship human-wise is husband and wife. There is no greater. It's not even mother and child, father and son, brother, sister. No greater relationship than husband and wife. So that is the ultimate, that is the pinnacle of human relationships. But I believe there are others that we can have some kind of companionship that God allows us to have in our lives. And we need to thank God for our friends, our family, above all our spouses, if we're lucky and fortunate enough to have them. Be thankful for that that God has put into your life. But then we come to the end of the message, and I just real quickly want to make the correlation between Adam and Jesus, just as I did this morning, and quickly compare the two. Jesus is called sometimes in the Bible the second Adam, and I believe it's Paul that gives him that designation as the second Adam. But what does it mean for Jesus to be like Adam? Well, God blessed Jesus, who blessed us. He called, He made Adam to be His son. He created Adam His son. But He also had Christ the Son that wasn't created by God. He is God. Jesus is God, but was called the Son of God, and He was chosen to save mankind, chosen to start again, chosen to be the Father of mankind again, just as Adam, in a physical sense, was our Father, so Christ was, in a spiritual sense, our Father. And He brings us back to God, and brings us back to that relationship with Him. And in the same way that Adam had the companion of Eve, we have the companion of Christ. If you don't believe me on that, think about those passages in the Bible, the New Testament, that talk about the church being the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We are that ultimate relationship with Christ. We have that undying love for Him, that never-ending love. And He abides in us and comforts us, and we serve and worship and love Him, and we walk with Him. We have a relationship with Him. We are the bride of Christ. He is our husband. He is our companion. The same way that Eve was for Adam, so we are for Christ, and Christ is for us. We have Christ who loves us and saves us, and He is also our companion. And we need to worship Christ, the perfect Son of God, the second Adam, the one that could take and be perfect in the eyes of God, never sin, never falter, and be the salvation for man. I look at this tonight and I wonder about this, and I wonder if you have seen in this that you need to experience those blessings of life. Do you receive those blessings of life? Do you understand the blessing that it is to be alive, the blessing that it is to have part in relationships, the blessing that it is to have the dominion over the world that God has given us? Do you know what it is to have companionship with a husband or a wife, or even with family and friends, other family and friends? Do you understand that? Do you live that? Is it important to you? Are you thankful to God for what He has given you, what He has done in your life? We've seen that God has blessed Adam in so many ways, and He likewise blesses us in the same ways. It's no different now than it was then. What is it that God is doing in your life? Is He showing you that you're not being thankful? Or are you being thankful and realizing you need to be more thankful? Whatever it is, what is God showing you? What does He want to speak in your life and do in your life? Hymn Invitation tonight is hymn number 23 out of the volume 12 book. I just pray that we will be thankful for the blessings of life, the companionships, the life we have, just having life, being made in His image, knowing that Christ, our groom, that we are the bride of Christ, and that we serve and worship Him. May we be thankful to God tonight for all that He does for us. And I pray that tonight you won't leave here until you have been thankful and have shown that thankfulness. Father, we do thank You for the love You give for us. We thank You for the forgiveness of our sins that You bring our way. God, I just pray tonight that we will be thankful for all the many blessings You give us. It is great to have life. It is great to have dominion over the world as humans. And it is great to have companionship, spouses and husbands, wives, and brothers, sisters, and friends, and parents. It's great to have those kind of relationships. It is, dear Father, it is great to be made in your image, to know that you have created us and that we belong to you and that you love us. And may we not leave here tonight until we have thanked you, until we have gotten our heart right, and there's someone here, maybe God, that is facing some kind of difficulty in life, and they realize they need to be thankful that you are there for them, that you have given them a life to live. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we just pray that you bless us now in this time of invitation. And as all these things, we pray and ask in the name of Jesus.